Hey guys, what's up? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike. I'm here with Locked On Clippers, which is part of the Locked On NBA Network, in case you didn't know. I'm joined today, as I am every Monday through Friday, by my best friend.
What's up, guys? Positive Chuck Mockler.
We got a heck of a show for you today. It's Tuesday, which means our Tuesday segment, Twitter Tuesdays. Today we're going to dive into a little bit of like the changing landscape, I guess, of sports journalism.
Specifically two of the most important sports journalists right now.
Absolutely. Shams and Woj, in case you didn't know, we're going to get into a little bit of controversy with that. We're going to start out with a recap of last night's NBA action. Then we're going to wrap up with some Clippers-specific stuff, go over the victory from last night, kind of what went well, what we'd like to see more of.
Guys, that's coming up. But first, we are super excited to let you know about our brand new partner, Metro Infinity. They're just off the 210 in Monrovia, 821 East Central, if you need the exact address, and they're the only dealer in California that's been family owned and have been in business for 25 years.
Impressive.
I don't even like my family.
No.
One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity, if you don't want to go to the dealership, which who wants to leave the house these days, they will bring your new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction.
Wow, that's convenient.
If I bought a car, I would absolutely want to flex on my coworkers by signing the papers at work. Make sure to mention Locked On, and we will give another $500 off any car purchase. If you're thinking about a new Infiniti, or even in the market for a new car, please give them a chance to win your business. They have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. So, tons of games last night.
Yeah, a lot of action.
We're going to quickly wrap up a few of the more important ones. Rockets dispatched the Pacers 98-94. Very close game.
Yeah. Dispatch seems, that seems maybe a little bit of
a little harsh?
Yeah, I just feel like
are they squeaked by the Pacers?
I would say squeaked by, yeah.
Harden led the Rockets with 28. Capella contributed a double-double. He's having a really good season. And CP3 helped out with 13 assists.
That's big.
That's what you want. Victor Oladipo had 28 points. Him and Harden had an identical stat line.
Yeah, pretty insane.
Which is pretty odd. Will's pick for most improved player, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm standing by it.
All right. Sabonis had 17, 8, and 5, which is great. Big win for the Rockets. They made the Pacers kind of play their game.
Oh, I disagree. I think that the Pacers kind of inflicted their game the entire time. Yeah, I think that it was, obviously low-scoring game for the Rockets.
Yeah,
The Pacers played Pacers basketball. It was good basketball on both ends of the floor. You know, nothing too flashy.
Yeah, nothing to worry about from the Pacers either from this loss. This is like not a scheduled loss, but one of those losses where you're like, it sucks, but
yeah,
still the Rockets.
Also good that the Rockets are kind of figuring things out. I mean, this is what, the second game that they've played with their big two backcourt healthy or together or not suspended.
Thunder took down the Pelicans 122-116. Dude, where's my Pels, dude?
Oh, man. I don't know.
I was reading the box score for this. I'm genuinely shocked that the Pels lost when AD had 20 and 8, Mirotić had 16 and 26, Holiday had 22 and 14 assists, and Randle had 26 and 8 off the bench.
Yeah.
And Westbrook went down in the game.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird loss. Westbrook had 17, 7 and 9 before that.
Schroeder kind of had himself a night.
Yeah. I mean, this was a good example of exactly why they signed Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Very
capable backup point guard.
Yes. That. Did you see the video of the ankle roll?
I did. So,
yeah.
In case you guys haven't seen it, he comes down on Anthony Davis's foot and it's not as graphic as the Gordon Hayward thing, but his ankle does go completely perpendicular to his leg.
Yeah. And anytime someone like Westbrook is shrieking in pain.
Yeah, I assume it's bad.
Oh, man, it seemed terrible. We hope he gets better soon. The Nuggets beat the Celtics 115-107 from a mental night from Jamal Murray, putting up 48 points.
Good for him, man.
New career high. Jokic had 8, 10, and 8, which kind of a goofy stat line, but, you know. Kyrie had 31, but no one else had over 15 for the Celtics.
Yeah, really pretty balanced. I think the problem with this was just the bench didn't deliver like the Celtics bench generally does.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Morris had a little bit of an off night. I think the bench combined for, hold on, I got a note here somewhere. Yeah, the entire bench combined for 26, 16, and 5.
That's garbage.
Which is a great stat line for one player.
For a guy.
For six, not so much.
So I put a note in here, just asking,
uh-huh.
You're still doubting the Nuggets, yes?
Yes, I will die on this hill. I don't even know if I count this as a real win against the Celtics or just a win against their bench.
Why?
Be- because the bench didn't show up. I feel like they just beat their bench.
Yeah, but Kyrie played, Gordon Hayward played, Tatum played.
You know.
All right. The Nuggets hate is truly real. What happened to you in Denver?
No, I don't hate the Nuggets. Oh, and also, just to piggyback on this, I realize they're at 9-1 right now.
Yeah.
But through 10 games, they've beat four dirt teams.
Okay.
Four ass teams.
All right.
They squeaked out a win over an evenly matched team who, I mean,
we should have got that game. We should have won.
Yeah. And they got beat by the Lakers.
Yeah, that's fair.
So my consensus is this is not a real team in like the top conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I think if we're talking tiers of NBA, you got the Warriors, you got tier two, which is people who are like competitive and could make a run in the playoffs.
Rockets, Jazz.
Yeah, and Nuggets are in that third tier.
Okay.
I still think they're a year away from being a year away.
All right, for sure. I mean, I can't argue with that logic. lastly, is the Warriors gunned down the Grizzlies. I got real creative with these today. Thompson had 27, Durant 22, Curry 19. Someone named Alphonso McKinney surprised with 14 points in 29 minutes. They just find these guys out of nowhere who randomly have a good game. Dylan Brooks was the Mama Grizz for
Memphis.
Or
the Lady Grizz.
Or the Lady Grizz. That's the anytime we highlight a Grizzly game, the Mama Grizz is the leading scorer for Memphis.
Okay.
That's our new thing. He had 18 points. Gasol with 8, 10, and 9. Wasn't enough to get the win, but closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah. And the Grizzlies are having actually a pretty good start.
Yeah, they're always, I never know anything about them. Even when they're good, I'm like, oh, Memphis, cool.
I know, they're always like a team that people kind of ignore, but like for a long, I mean, up until last year, they were still like always in the playoffs,
absolutely.
It seemed like. I actually bet on your birthday, Alex Hanna, that the Grizzlies would definitely finish with a better record than the Mavs. So, man, I got a cool $20 coming to me.
Cool 20? Dang, good for you. Coming up, we're going to go into some Twitter Tuesday type stuff, kind of some Woj and Shams, perhaps corruption? I don't know. But before we get into that, guys, make sure to follow at Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram so you can get all of the Locked On Podcast Network local news all in one place. It's amazing during games, really great for breaking news to get kind of a local perspective on stuff. On Instagram, you'll get bigger stories, just a little longer than a minute, and more stuff in your stories feed and longer cuts on what's going down. Again, that's Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram. So this week's Twitter Tuesdays, I would say, is maybe one of the more deeper ones that we've done content-wise.
Yeah.
So there's kind of... Woj and Shams have kind of not fallen from grace because they're still the premier breaking news reporters for the NBA. But there's been some weird stuff.
There's been some weird stuff, and it's like exclusively centered around the Jimmy Butler trade. I feel like that's when this started.
It's really, I don't know if it maybe started it, but it's really been exacerbated, I think, to focus on it.
Yeah.
So Woj is basically the mouthpiece for the Wolves front office.
100%.
Like kind of putting out these weird Twitter fires about what's going on with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think the most notable example was when he berated all of his team members.
And Woj was like, mic drop, Jimmy's back.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like cheering it on like it was some...
This is what we all wanted.
Toxic Masculinity, the musical.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good way to put it. And Shams is now like kind of the voice for Jimmy's agent.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a conflict of interest because, you know, Shams is thought of as a NBA insider. He was employed by The Athletic right now.
Yes.
But he also is an employee of Stadium, which is like founded and owned by Jerry Reinsdorf.
The owner of the Bulls.
Yeah. And they're working on a documentary right now that's like the greatness of Derrick Rose.
Yeah, this is all from a great Deadspin article. It does have a curse word in the headline, which is like, come on, Deadspin, figure it out. I just think that's insane these days. Yeah, so he published a piece for The Athletic about Derrick Rose, which is also weird, like a weird puff piece about his battle back from, I don't know, a horrific rape charge that he had. And he's also getting ready to do a documentary about how dope Derrick Rose is for Stadium.
Yeah.
So, like, there's this weird thing. Anyone who read his profile of Rose can't be expected to know that he's also getting a paycheck from people who are working directly with Rose to produce a weirdly skewed documentary.
Yeah, so... it seems like a definite conflict of interest. And here I think is the one argument, I guess, in favor of the journalist.
Yeah.
Is I understand it's hard to get these sources. It's hard to nurture these sources.
For sure.
I think that it must be hard. You don't want to burn a bridge. And I think sometimes you have to ride that line. That being said, I'm surprised that The Athletic even ran the piece because I think that,
yeah.
The Athletic is regarded as... you know, one of the best journalistic outlets.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, pay-gated content. And I think that to not inform readers that, you know, one of your reporters is kind of on both sides of the fence, I think that that does it a little bit of a disjustice.
Yeah, it's like, just let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put it out there and it's like, whatever, that's fine. But I think the issue is, because it does say on his Twitter that he works for Stadium 2, but it doesn't say that it's owned by the owner of the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, and like, I mean, unless you were to like look up what Stadium was and everything, mm-hmm. you would have no clue. There's no, there's no real context. I don't know. I guess it just kind of made me think, like, what, you know, what is the position of the sports journalist? Because it's definitely an entirely different field than
news,
than a news journalist, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which should be, you know, in best cases is kind of unbiased facts. And just reporting what's happening.
For sure.
And I guess in sports journalism, can there even be an unbiased opinion? You know, because I just feel like the way that we're involved with sports is different than the way we would be involved in foreign politics or something.
Yeah. I think it gets to a point, because these guys are kind of breaking news journalists.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So I think for that, it's good because they can be unbiased. But at the point, because, you know, they're on obviously a stratospheric level compared to, say, this podcast.
Yeah.
But for us, it's team specific, so we can be biased and stuff like that. But when you're in a separate entity,
yeah,
it seems like there's much more pressure to kind of just report the facts.
Totally.
And you can, you know, and there's different mediums too, which has a podcast where you can be more opinionated and stuff like that, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the reporting, like the mic drop, it was so weird to see Woj's like personal kind of enjoyment and spin on something that very clearly did not have a positive spin.
Totally.
Or wasn't I shouldn't say had a positive spin. Wasn't a, I don't know. He made it seem like a friendly psych up thing.
Yeah. Which I also feel like is kind of uncharacteristic for him.
Everyone was kind of like, why is he saying these things? So not like, since they're also so successful, these are two of the premier breaking news journalists, at what point do they stop being reporters and become personalities?
Yeah.
Because there is a big difference.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith, personality.
Totally.
Not saying he's bad at what he does.
No, he's absolutely great at what he does.
But he is a personality.
But you're accepting that, like, I mean, a solid portion of what he's saying is his opinion.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not like these aren't the facts.
Yeah, definitely not the facts. A lot of the times with Stephen A. Smith. So are they kind of, are Woj and Shams kind of going into this weird personality territory now?
I don't know. It a little bit feels like that.
Not that I'm against it.
No, I'm not against that either. I don't know. They just are different than other journalists who do the same medium, and I think that, yeah, I mean, I guess I would just like to see it remain unbiased, remain them like breaking these news stories, and I don't really, in an article or something, I guess I think it's fine to have like a personal
spin. A
little
more long form.
But like when we're just looking at like these blurbs, you know what I mean? Because most of the stuff that you read from either one of these guys, I mean, let's be honest, it's like 200 characters.
And it's the first time you're seeing that piece of news.
Yeah.
So you're getting such a strong first impression that there's, even if a little bit of personal stuff in there, that's going to go into your brain.
Yeah.
And you're going to file that away.
Yeah.
For how you're reacting to that story. I don't know. Where do we go from here? Do they fist fight? it will be interesting to see if there's maybe going to be like a third. I would say Mark Stein is also in this territory.
But yeah.
He does a great job of like
Brian Windhorst. I mean, there's so many great sports journalists out there that we could name. It just seems like it just
with
these two have come to light.
Yeah, these two have come to light. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm definitely not going to watch that Derrick Rose documentary.
Absolutely not.
I was talking to someone, this is kind of an aside. I was talking with someone yesterday about how, you know, the whole rape charge and trial and everything and just how ludicrous that was, just the whole situation, taking pictures with the jurors and stuff like that after. And my friend goes, yeah, man, and believe it or not, I can't believe someone took his SATs when he was in college. And I was like, that's not the issue. Like, that's less important than what we're talking about right now.
Absolutely.
Like, let that go. Guys, if you have any thoughts on the Twitter Tuesdays, please get at us. After this, we're going to get into a fantastic recap of a wonderful victory against the Timberwolves. But first, Will, you wanted to place a bet on this game, right?
Oh, definitely.
What did you do?
I would have thrown money down. I went to a very dark alley where it was raining, even though it wasn't raining anywhere else, and I talked to a man in a trench coat.
Wow, that sounds dangerous.
It was dark.
Jesus.
I get into some weird stuff when we're not together.
Man, these 27 minutes really feel like a savior for you. Next time you're trying to bet, you should check out MyBookie. You can use the promo code EnterLockedOn to activate the offer on MyBookie.com today. That's MyBookie. Don't forget to use that promo code when creating your account to claim a bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. No more dark alleys.
Thanks, MyBookie.
All right, so last night was maybe my favorite win of the season for the Clippers so far.
I think it's been one of my favorite games of the entire season.
It was a comprehensive effort. We were down at 1 point. The Timberwolves were surging.
It was tense all the way through.
It was tense, dude. Doc showed some really great rotations.
Yeah.
He's been sticking with his gut. We're going to run down some quick stats, and then we're going to get into some more deeper stuff. Tobias extended his 15-plus point streak to 10 games, matching his career best, which is fantastic. Tobio.
And I think he's last seven, he's 20 plus.
Yeah, for sure. And Tobio combined for 44, each of those guys getting 22. The new Tobio cushion is if they score 40 plus, we're probably going to win the game.
Yeah.
Sweet Lou had 20. Trez with 13 and 7. It felt like Trez had way more points. I know he didn't, but it felt like he was everywhere kind of in the later stages of this game.
Oh, agreed. Yeah.
Always fantastic. His energy. Shea got his first start due to a random injury from Avery Bradley.
Which I didn't realize going in. I just thought we were starting Shea, and I was like, oh, all right.
I kind of did too, and then I was like, oh, no, it's because of an injury. Well, maybe it showed him something. He did a little bit of everything with 6, 4, and 5 with a plus 7 rating. The Clippers had 30 total team assists.
That was so great.
Which is wonderful. And only 11 turnovers.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, that's as many as the Timberwolves had. But, hey, if we have the same amount as the other team every night, I'm fine with it. That seems like a wash.
Yeah. And, I mean, I feel like that's to be expected. Especially, I mean, the Timberwolves are traditionally not, like, they don't have a lot of turnovers. I think they're in the top 10 for the amount of turnovers in a game, like least allowed, obviously. So that we're matching up with them is definitely good. It has been a downward trend. It was like it was between 16 and 18 a game there for a while.
It was not good.
And it has been trending down. So that's good to see.
Yeah, that game against the Thunder was pretty brutal as well.
Oh, yeah.
With the turnovers. What were your, just give me some of your thoughts on this game. Let's dish.
Man, I really liked the look with Shea starting, and it might have been with a little bit of a biased eye. I don't know. But the ball movement just looked way better. I don't know. We've talked about this a little bit, and there are aspects of Beverly's game that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't really feel like he's a playmaker.
No, not at all.
So,
not compared to Shea.
Yeah, so I think that when Shea is at the point, people are moving around a little bit more because you know that he's going to find you. If you get open, he's going to find you.
And he can create more offense for himself.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
The turnovers are great. Interior defense, you got a note here, still soft.
Very soft, man.
Yeah.
We talked just yesterday about how, like, we're big, so we should play big and not try to be small. Whatever Doc said. I was watching the game and I was like, yeah, throw that out the window. We're not big.
You don't think we're big? 3, 4, and 5?
We're pretty big 3, 4, and 5, but only when Boban is out there.
That's a good point.
Tobias and Gallo are both taller than Trez.
Yeah.
And Gortat is like, I mean,
doesn't play on the team anymore.
who knows what's going on with him? But also not that large. He's not getting stops. He's not like, he's not a rim protector.
That's what was so interesting is that in the beginning of the game, Cat was feasting on us.
Oh, yeah.
He actually looked like he cared tonight, which is a bad sign for the other team.
Always.
He was really like kind of eating us alive. And then for some reason, they just stopped giving him the ball.
Yeah, Derrick Rose was the top scorer of the night, which...
Top scorer and the top shot taker.
Yeah.
By like 6 shots.
Yeah.
I don't know what Tibbs is doing. Why is that? Why is Derrick Rose the top shot taker?
I have no idea. Jimmy Butler also, I had to look at the box score to see that he played the whole game. Because honestly,
nowhere.
I felt he was a non-factor until the final half of the fourth.
Yeah. Until they mounted a comeback, Jimmy Butler was just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
Which I think
I don't know what he was doing.
I think it's indicative of it's this weird thing where if Cat's doing well, Jimmy Butler's not going to do well and vice versa. Because when Jimmy started doing well, Cat wasn't in the game plan.
Yeah, Don McLean, Donnie Mac, made
we
a comment.
Love Donnie Mac on this podcast, by the way.
Made a comment that he couldn't really see the dysfunction of the Timberwolves, like the way they were playing. I think that was too high of a compliment.
Yeah,
I could absolutely see the dysfunction. Anytime, like
Wiggins doesn't look like he cares.
Man, What's going on with Wiggins?
He got his money, dude. And he just, I don't know. He wasn't in a position to improve. I have no idea. I'm rambling, but like.
His game is predicated on taking contested long twos.
That's the future, baby.
That is not the future, man. And how is he still the same size he was when he came into the league?
I have no idea. Put on some weight.
Dude, eat a sandwich. Lift weights.
You're in Minnesota. Have some hot dish. That's for all our Midwest listeners out there. I like this note in here that Cat will bite on any pump fake.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Tobias was so slick with the pump fakes. It was like, it was great. I think Shea needs a move when he's posted up. And I think that if he just learns one thing from Tobias, if he can get that, the pump fake, the shot fakes, just little shakes and just little things like that to add to his game, I think with the length that he already has, it'll just elevate his game to the next level.
Some shakes and bakes, if you will.
Hey.
All right, I'll get out of here. I think the block thing goes back to the stat stuffing too about Cat. I think he wants to get those blocks, and it's like, see, I had three blocks, and it's like, dude, we lost by 15. It doesn't matter. Like,
yeah. Well, he finished with four blocks. I would argue that only two of them were really that useful, because I'm pretty sure we still got an offensive
possession out of it.
Yeah.
Gallo worked really hard on defense, and that is a difference maker? I don't think his defense itself is, but I think the effort maybe that amps from what it used to be, amps it to a different level.
So here's where I think it does make a difference. Obviously, you're not seeing that big of a difference in the stat line.
For sure.
Even on the eye test, I gotta be honest, it's not like he's looking like, it's not like he's like this fearsome defender or something.
Yeah, he just looks like he's trying.
It's just clear that he is putting a lot of effort into it, and where I do think that is helpful is that you're wearing somebody else down.
Definitely. And you're maybe surprising them with how much effort you're actually putting in if you're Gallo.
Yeah, and it's not like people just have to, I mean, if you're making the other team work for every single bucket, like even if they do end up getting by you, but like it's after like a long post up or something, mm-hmm. and they really have to work to get around you. I mean, I'm fine losing a couple points like that because they can't sustain that over the entirety of a game. Like, you know, you're not gonna miss that opportunity every time.
Yeah, in the long run, it just tires them out. Jerome was in the house.
Yeah. Watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth. Went 2 for 3, 6 points. Way to go, young fella. His shot looks quick.
It really does.
It was awesome to see him go down to the G League, get into a rhythm, come out, play kind of some spotty minutes, but still contribute really well.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's exactly what you want from a bench mob.
Mm-hmm. Milos at one point was playing regular defense against Derrick Rose.
Oh, I loved it. One of my favorite parts of the game.
It was the hardest defense I think I've ever seen Milos play. Rose took exception to it for I don't know why.
Yeah, he got the foul.
He got the foul, and Milos was playing legitimate clean defense.
Yeah.
Trez got in his face.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Well, to be fair, Rose started jawing.
That's what I mean. Yeah, Rose started jawing. Trez comes over to defend him. Don McLean was really ready for them to scrap, which is sweet. He had a great quote. He said, so let me get this straight, Ralph. Derrick Rose isn't allowed to be guarded. He was acting kind of prima donna-ish. Trez said he defended Milos because Milos doesn't engage, mm-hmm. and that's not his game, which is awesome.
Yeah.
This lineup of Milos, Lou, Jerome, Scott, and Trez were +8 during a pretty crucial stretch in the second quarter.
Definitely.
The Scott to Trez connection was awesome.
Man, Scott can make plays.
Dude, he had so many crazy bounce passes into the lane that like shocked me.
It was really cool. Scott had a great game.
3 of 4 off the bench with 8 points, hitting 2 threes, and just made the spacing way better.
So that's one note that I've had. I feel like it's been an issue, especially with our second unit, is we have so many shooters and somehow no space.
Yeah, which I think is because of Bradley and Beverly.
Well, I'm talking about the second unit specifically.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes what happens is when Lou is running the ball, everybody's just kind of like, oh, like let's just let Lou do his thing.
Yeah, they don't have a natural playmaker in that second unit, except for Milos.
Yeah, Milos or when Shea is playing with them.
Yeah, for sure.
So it looked better, though. It looked a little bit better last night.
And they closed the game out. That lineup closed the game
out. Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
It's so cool to see Gallo and Tobias not really out there in the fourth.
Yeah,
because Doc is trusting his gut with these lineups that I didn't really expect this lineup tonight,
mm-hmm.
and it worked great.
Yeah,
it went back to when you were doing solo episodes, you were pounding on the desk for 3-guard lineups.
Yes,
and it worked. Gallo went to the ground on a hard foul. on the last possession. I think everyone was kind of freaked out.
Oh man, I almost started bawling before anything even happened.
You just heard glass shattering in your ears.
Oh, I was so nervous. I was so nervous.
So that was my most enjoyable game so far this year.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great win.
It was peak, I think, what we want to see from everyone on the team.
Absolutely.
Which, I don't know if that has to do with Avery Bradley not playing, but I'm not sure. I think we still would have got the win with Avery Bradley playing.
I mean, we could have used his defense for sure. Rose would not have had as many points if Bradley was there.
They also might have just settled for letting Rose try and beat us. It's like, fine, if you want to try and get 50 every game, do it, man.
Go for it, buddy.
Two quick questions before we wrap this up. When is Luke coming back?
I do not know.
Out indefinitely?
I do not know. I actually can't even remember what his injury is.
Shoulder, I think.
Oh, it's still the shoulder acting up.
It's still the shoulder. Mm. Not good.
Well, wish him the best. I hope to see him back.
Is Gortat done?
Yeah, what's the deal with that? Are we on the outs?
I hope. He hasn't been good. We're 2-0 in games that he hasn't played, and Trez and Boban played really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, with less back-to-backs, fine. Maybe we'll use him for, I don't know what we're going to use him for.
I mean, I could see him just going somewhere in a trade.
We play the Blazers on Thursday, so maybe he'll play then against Nurkic.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised we even took anything back in that Wizards trade, personally.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I don't know, I guess much love to Marcin Gortat. He didn't reach any Clipper Daryl tweets, so that's good.
Yeah.
Guys, coming up tomorrow, we're going to have a What Could Have Been Wednesday. We're going to get into a bit of just some Clippers culture talk, because it feels like it's the best it's maybe ever been.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe some hot takes. Leave us a message at 707-532-4654. Guys, this has been Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're new, welcome to the bandwagon. There's plenty of room. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.